is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi. This is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy, my Father, for it endures forever, Lord. You're an awesome God, my Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you have afforded us this opportunity to my Father, to glory to God, to come, Lord, boldly into your presence, boldly to your throne of grace, and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we thank you, my Father, for pointing unto us the golden scepter of righteousness, signifying that all our sins are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And not only cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but, Lord, we can even though our sins are like scars, they're white as snow, Father. And as a result of that, Lord, as free from sin, we can come, like I said, bold into your presence, my Father. And Lord, as we come bold into your presence, my Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that you will minister to us, Lord, by your Spirit. So I humble myself under your mighty hands, Lord, and I say yes to your will and yes to your way. May your kingdom come in our lives, Father, and may your will be done in our lives. Here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Now, give us, Father, through this broadcast, Lord God, our daily bread. Everything that we would have need of, Father, from you, a word from you, Lord, that would suffice us for our everyday needs, the bread of life, my Father, God. So I ask you, Lord, to feed us. And Lord, thank you once again that we can come, Lord, to the King's table and eat from the King's table. Thank you for the food that has been served to us from the servant's table. Through all the words that we as ministers of the gospel, Father, minister to each other and to people, my Father God, that's the servant's table. But Father, we want to come past, man, what man say, what I say, Father, all the way into your presence to where we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today, my Father. And Lord, he that has ears to hear, let him hear, my Father, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And as you speak to our heart, Father, we don't ask you to entertain us, but we ask you, Father, to transform us, to enlighten us, to bring us out of darkness and ignorance of your will and your kingdom, Father, into the marvelous light, my Father. And Father, we'll be careful, as always, to make sure that we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hi, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, I pray that you are blessed in the Lord today, that you are empowered, that everything that you have need for has already met, Lord, and that mighty men and mighty women, and that as days go by, we continue to come to the knowledge, Father, that everything is all right, my Father. And the reason why everything is all right is because our lives are in your hands. So mighty men and mighty women of the God, and my prayer for you is always, Lord, that you continue becoming. You continue working. What work is? Work is becoming. Hallelujah. In this sense, in the Bible, God told Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply and subdue and replenish the earth, you know, and be who I said you are. Hey, what he was telling them, become what I say you are. If I say you are a king, then become that. That's your word. If I say you're saved, then become that. If I say you're healed, then become that. If I say you're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, then become that. I'm not talking about our job. Like I said last week, our 9 to 5. I'm talking about the work. The work, in this sense, in the Bible, the word work means to become. Hallelujah. So what God is telling us is this today, that he wants us to become who we already are. Hallelujah. Who are we already are? We already are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We already are kings and queens in the kingdom of God. We really are healed by the stripes of Jesus. We really are mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. We really can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And as we come to the knowledge of that, and as we hear that and hear that and hear that, our faith in that and who we really are will begin to develop as we step out on it, as we exercise this faith in who we are, Lord God. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. So the more you hear the word of God concerning a certain situation or a thing, then hallelujah, then your faith comes. Now, when your faith is put into operation, what do you mean operation? Faith is a little bit more than just believing God. See, we believe God, but we're not talking about just believing God. Faith is a little bit stronger word than belief. Belief is incorporated in it, but faith is believing God to the point where we act on his word. Believing God to the point where we step out on his promises, that we not only believe, but we act on it. Hallelujah. So faith is an action word, you know. Hey, you can believe God, man, that you are healed by the stripes of Jesus, but man, you can die sick if you don't step out on that. Listen, everything that God give us and done for us is by his grace, his love and his grace. Hallelujah. And the grace of God is like a big old reservoir that's hovering in our lives, over our head. And in that grace of God, in that reservoir, is all that we have need of. The main thing that's in there, boy, is all of the kingdom of heaven and all that it consists of, all his attributes, his lifestyle, his environment, his atmosphere. All that is in this big reservoir called grace. In order to get all that that's in that big reservoir down into our lives here on earth, there's a big funnel that's hooked up to the reservoir that's connected to our spirit and to our soul and to our lives and our body. So the way you download all the grace of God and all of the kingdom of heaven in our lives is that to come through that funnel of faith. It don't come no other way. That's why God said without faith it's impossible to please God. Why? Because God wants us to have everything that he desired for us to have. And the way to get it is through faith. The way to get healed is through faith. The way to get saved is through faith. The way to get blessed is through faith. The way to obtain all the exceeding great and precious promises of God, all that's through faith. Everything that you're going to get from God, you're going to have to exercise faith in. That's why, boy, the devil been keeping man, God's people, from the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Why, boy, because you ever begin to hear the gospel of the kingdom and hear it and hear it. I'm not just talking about with your physical ear. I'm talking about with your spiritual ear, where you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church in our generation, in our day, in our time. And as we continue to hear and hear and hear and hear that, then our faith in the kingdom of God, man, will develop. That's why the devil don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom. He don't mind you, man, you know, having all kind of knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is a gospel of Jesus Christ. That's good news. The good news about Jesus. Hallelujah. In the Bible, they got a lot of gospel in the Bible. They got the gospel of our provision, the gospel of our deliverance, the gospel of our our healing, our health, and the gospel of our salvation. Many other gospels in there, you know, the good news about Jesus, that's a gospel, the gospel of Jesus. But then there's another gospel, a specific gospel. And that's not the gospel of Jesus. That's not the gospel of healing. That's not the gospel of provisions. That's not the gospel of deliverance. Glory, hallelujah. It's not that. All of that is contained in it. But this gospel, specific gospel, is the gospel of the kingdom. Glory to God. And in this gospel of the kingdom is everything that I don't care who you are. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. I don't care what denomination, what religion, whether you're atheist, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Buddhist, whether you're a Hindu or a Mormon or whatever it is. Glory to God. Whatever it might be, all that's contained in it. Like I say, all of the other good news, that's contained in it. But again, there's a specific good news that I believe with all my heart that's been hidden in the graveyard of religion. The devil has used man, well, we're supposed to be a good thing, boy, in order to hinder us from the great thing. So he's preoccupied us with the gospel of salvation, the gospel of deliverance, the gospel of healing, the gospel of peace, the gospel of deliverance, even the gospel of Jesus. You know, he's preoccupied us with that, boy, to stop us from getting to not the gospel of Jesus, not the gospel of deliverance and healing and provision, but the gospel that he preached. And the gospel that he preached is what God put me on this radio broadcast, boy, to share with all the listeners on this broadcast. And that's the gospel that Jesus preached. He didn't preach, like I told you, all those other gospels, he didn't neglect them, all that's contained in it. But the main central focus of man, the gospel, the most important gospel that it is, the greatest gospel that it is in the Bible, is the gospel of the kingdom. And boy, the devil don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of that. He don't ever want you to understand that. He don't ever want, boy, you to know that you know that you know that you know that everything is all right. Because, boy, you all have a citizenship in heaven, that all of the kingdom of heaven, and not God trying looking for a way to provide it for us, is already provided for us. That's what Jesus Christ preached. He preached the good news, not about deliverance and healing and salvation, and not even but good news about him. He preached the good news about you and I. And the good news about you and I, like I say all the time, you are a mighty man and a mighty woman of the Most High God. You are a king and a priest. What's a king? That's a ruler. That's a political figure. What's a priest? That's a spiritual figure. What God said in his word in Revelation chapter 5, because of what Jesus Christ has done unto us, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news about Jesus and all that he did, because of that, man, then we have been made unto our God kings and priests. Listen, in that order, kings and priests. What's a king? That's a ruler. What's a priest? That's a spiritual representative. What a king do? He rule and reign over his domain. What a priest do? He represents God to the people. He go to God on behalf of the people, and then he come back to the people on behalf of God. He's a spiritual representative. He come with the thing of God. But what a king do? He rules and reigns. You know, it's in that order. God made us kings first, even before we became priests. He made us rulers first. He said, let's make them in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion. That's kingship. That's rulership. That's authority and control and power and influence, what, over territory. Hallelujah. And, boy, he made us kings first. And then he also, boy, made us spiritual representatives. What's that, boy? To represent, boy, God in the earth. To not only just be Christians or Baptists or Mormons or whatever denomination or whatever religion or whatever tie you might come on, but way more than that, much more than that. Not just a Christian, hallelujah, but an ambassador. Ambassador of what? An ambassador of Christ. An ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. What's an ambassador? He's a representative of his government. Hallelujah. He's not a representative, man, of a religion in a country. No, he represents the governing influence of the country. He represents the kingdom or the country itself. Hallelujah. What he do that, boy? He represents, man, God. He represents the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Well, boy, he influenced, boy, this earth with with the governing influence of God, hallelujah, and all that God has for us. What God has for us? Everlasting life. Where at, Arthur? In heaven. Not the heaven that he live in, but the heaven that he created for you and I. What's that, boy? We're going, the gospel of the kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Let me say that first. This is an everlasting kingdom. There ain't going to be no end to it. Hallelujah. And we shall reign on the earth, the Bible say in Revelation, I think it's chapter 21, where it say, boy, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. Boy, that's us. That's a city of peace. That's us coming down to the earth, boy, in God's grace and God's peace. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And we shall reign on earth forever and ever. Yes. So that's the good news that Jesus Christ preached. Listen, I didn't come to try to get you to heaven. I come to bring heaven. Glory to God. Watch this. I come to bring heaven back to you. Lord. And boy, listen, that's why, you know, we got to learn how to read the Bible and understand the scripture in the light of the kingdom, because that's what the Bible is really all about. It's about a king. Who is that, boy? That's the king of kings. That's God. He's a king. He's a ruler. What he rule? He rule over everything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He rule over everything. Everything. He's a king. He's not a prophet. He's not a... They asked Jesus, the disciples, who do men say that I am? And then they start saying, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah. All these are prophets. And then, boy, God asked them. First he asked them, who do the people out there say that I am? Then he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And, boy, Peter came out with an astounding statement. He said, thou art the Christ, but the reigning king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus told him, man, listen, the flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father in heaven revealed that to you. What he's saying, boy, that's why I say, boy, I armor myself under the power of the Holy Ghost and hope that the Holy Ghost can use me to empower you and to impart into you, boy, all of the good news about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God that belongs to us right now. So he come and set that up on the earth. And so in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, as I always say on here. And then, man, he, glory to God. Then he came in to bring what? Back the kingdom of heaven to the earth. God set that up, his will and his intent and his desire for mankind in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. See, if you read the Bible in the light of the kingdom of God, what I say, he's a king. He's not a prophet. He's a reigning king. Who is Christ? He's a reigning king. Hallelujah. And Jesus told them disciples, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon that rock, upon that statement, upon that revelation, Lord, that I'm a king that came to reestablish, man, the kingdom of God back upon the earth. He said, and upon that revelation, I'm going to be on my church. And what my church going to be? And my church going to be representative of me. The thing that I did, my church going to do. What he did, boy, he going to bring the kingdom of heaven back to the earth. What his church going to do? He'll help them establish that, man, throughout all the earth. Hallelujah. That's a king. That's a king. And fulfilling his God-given purpose and destiny. And that's reigning on earth. That's why I always say to you, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, kings and queens. Because in reality, that's what you are. And in Genesis chapter 3, where we find ourselves separated, man, from that kingdom, separated that God had placed us in, separated from God's presence, separated from the Holy Spirit, and separated from, boy, all that heaven has for us. And, boy, we find ourselves, man, in the wilderness. What? In the land of good and evil. And instead of us, man, being in an atmosphere and environment that's created by God, by his literal presence, the Bible called it the Garden of Eden. To be in that, and where he placed Adam and Eve at. And where he told them to become. And where that's where he told them to do your work from. From that place where, boy, the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Or the life of place with an open door into the literal presence of the Lord. And from there, we can complete our work. You can't complete your work out in the wilderness. That's why Jesus, what brought us out in the wilderness is sin. That's why Jesus Christ come for. He come in to cleanse us up from all our sins. For what purpose? So that we can have man a right back into the Garden of Eden. Listen, them angels with flame and sword that was protecting the way into the Garden of Eden, they gone. They ain't there no more. What's there now? It's an open door. No angels with flaming swords. It's an open door, signifying that every man and every woman and every boy and every girl could come on back into that delightful place, into that environment, into that atmosphere, into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come back there. For what purpose, Arthur? So that we can complete our work, our assignment. What's our assignment? Be fruitful and multiply and subdue and replenish the earth. What's our assignment, boy? To be a representative, boy, an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. What our purpose for that being that is so that we can establish on this earth the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Well, not in the sweet by and by, not in God's place. Where is to establish his boy in our domain, our territory, that he gave us dominion over, to establish that boy here on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's our assignment. That's one of the purposes why God created you and I. Well, so that we could be boy representative of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. But what purpose, Arthur? So that we can establish that atmosphere, that environment, that presence, that place where back up on the earth, till the whole earth is filled with the glory of God, the full expression of God, the manifested will of God, the manifested purpose of God. Where it ought to, in our territory. The Bible says the heavens belong to God, but the earth he gave to us, to man. Why he gave us the earth? So that boy, our domain, our territory might be an outpost or a colony of heaven. For what purpose, Arthur? So that the same thing that's going on in heaven can go on in our territory. What's our territory? The earth. What's God's will for our lives? That it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Well, that's his will. His will, you know, thank God for your rituals and your ceremonies and everything else, man, you know. But we have men through time, the devil have deleted that and brought that down low, man, into a religion where we preoccupy with rituals and ceremonies and traditions and the way we do things and the way we have church and all that. Oh, Lord. He's reduced. That's why I told you, boy, he don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom. He don't mind you hearing and being excited and influenced by all the other messages. But all those other messages, the healing, the deliverance, the provision, the salvation, that ain't in the wilderness. That's in the kingdom. Ain't no sickness in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Ain't no lost souls in the kingdom. Listen, ain't no like in the kingdom, L-A-C-K. You don't want for nothing in the kingdom. You ain't got no habits and other things that you're bound up to, man, and bondage to, boy, in the kingdom. In the kingdom, boy, there's a law called a perfect law of liberty. Glory to God. And this perfect law of liberty that's in the kingdom, man, hallelujah. Boy, it sets you free. Set you free from what? From everything that you need set free from. Most importantly, man, being set free from the power and influence of the devil. No longer in bondage to the devil. No longer in slavery to the devil. Ain't none of that in the kingdom. That's why the devil don't ever want you to find out about this kingdom. Because he know that if you ever find out about this kingdom, man, and that is available to you right now, and when you come into that kingdom, then he loses his power and control and influence over our lives. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again, boy. The reason why the devil hates that message so much and he's coming after that message so much, boy, is because he know that, boy, once you grab a hold to that, what? What? Grab a hold to what, Arthur? that all of the kingdom of heaven, man, is yours. It's our inheritance. It was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. God always designed and desired for us, boy, to live in that place, to operate from that place, to manifest, boy, God from that place. I say it again, and I know how many times I'll be saying it on this broadcast, but boy, the devil don't want you to know that. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief is the devil. What he come to do? Steal. How he going to steal? What he come to steal first? The first thing he come to steal out of our lives is the word of God. He don't ever want you to know the word of God for yourself. He don't ever want you to be a student of the word of God. He don't mind you being a Christian or a usher or a pastor, a prophet, a praise and worship leader, a member of a church. He don't mind you having and being all of that. But what he want to keep you from the knowledge of, boy, is the word of God. So he come rob that out your life. That's the first thing he after. That's the first thing that he come to steal, the word of God. Listen, I think if I say this here, I don't think I'll be out of line. At least 80% of Christians that go to church on Sundays and love God and believe in God and everything else, 80% of the most believers don't read the Bible, don't eat the bread of life, don't drink from the living waters. Most believers don't know the Bible. Most Christians out there don't know the Bible. Perhaps a majority of you out there who are under the sound of my voice, you love God and you believe in God and you go to church, but you don't know the scripture. You don't know the word of God for yourself. That's why he come to steal. That's the first thing he come to steal, the knowledge of God's word, boy, for you, concerning you. That's why God say my people will be destroyed. Why? Because of a lack of knowledge. What kind of lack of knowledge? A lack of knowledge of who you are. A lack of knowledge of your rights and privileges. A lack of knowledge, man, of what you have. A lack of knowledge of what you really can do. A lack of knowledge of where you really are headed for. A lack of knowledge of the Holy Spirit and his purpose. And let me say this while I'm right here. A lack of, since we in the resurrection season, a lack of knowledge for the resurrection. And what you mean, boy? Why it was? We know what it was, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you don't understand, boy, what all that was for. You don't understand the purpose for that. Why? Because you don't know the word. Perhaps those of you who don't know the Bible. And boy, let me tell you this. that's what the devil come to steal. The knowledge, the word of God. Boy, and he definitely don't want you to find the word of God, boy, concerning you. You can read the Bible all the time, man, and read the Bible concerning all the things that happened to characters in the Bible. He don't mind you reading the Bible in the light of what happened, how David lived about David. He don't mind you reading the Bible in the light of Moses and the children of Israel and everything else. He don't mind he don't ever want you to read the Bible in the light of you. Or who you are. He don't ever want you to find you in the Bible. That's what Jesus did when he began his ministry. The Bible say, boy, they led him he went to the synagogue as his custom was. And boy, they gave him the book to read from the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. The Bible say, and he found the place where it was written. And the place that he found that was written was a messianic prophecy about, boy, a king that was coming to the earth. Hallelujah. And boy, he found a place that it was written about him. And boy, he quoted that. That's why they want to throw him off the cliff. You know, I wonder why you want to throw him off the cliff. All he said is something. Listen, the way he's made that statement. See, if you read it, you read it in perhaps a religious light. But here's how Jesus read it. The spirit of the Lord. Now, let me quote it right. He said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is what? Is upon me. He wasn't just reading the scripture as a future thing. He found a place again where it was written about him. He said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has gifted me. And he went on to say this here, boy, and this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. And the Bible said they wanted to crucify, they wanted to kill him then. And they took him, man, and threw him off a cliff. And, man, he walked right through the midst of them. Right through the middle of them. Why? Because they couldn't touch him. Death didn't have no power over him. He had power and control and influence over every circumstance and situation and symptom in the body. Death didn't have no authority over him. Death couldn't even touch him. Why? Because he was born in the likeness of sinful man, yet without sin. He didn't have no sin in him. So death couldn't touch him. They even if they'd have tried to kill him before the time, well, it couldn't have been done. I told you they did. They tried to throw him out the cliff. The Bible said he walked right through the midst of him. The midst of him right through the middle of him. He made a statement, boy, say, ain't no man can take my life from me. The only way I can die is I lay my life down. And the only reason why I lay my life down because I got a promise from my father was that I shall take it back up again. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, he ain't going to leave your soul there. He said, you will be resurrected, man, among and see all of those, Lord, that in the fruit of your labor, all the offspring that are going to come from you. Death ain't going to happen. That's why we're celebrating this holiday right now, or this month of the holiday, Easter. Glory to God. But not understanding, man, is purpose. I say this again, you know. Boy, the devil don't ever want you to know the word of God. He don't mind you knowing about the word of God. He don't mind you knowing being able to quote a few scriptures in the word of God. When I say know the word of God, I'm talking about the reality of the word of God. The revelation of the word of God. I'm not talking about reading the Bible in the light of how can I say it? In the light of, help me, Holy Ghost. He don't mind us reading the Bible in the light of our redemption. As long as we don't read the Bible in the light of our restoration. What you mean by that, Arthur? We read the Bible, man, and see all about the work that Jesus Christ did for us. But boy, he don't ever want you to read the Bible in the light of this. That because of everything that Jesus Christ did for us, we have been made unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth over every circumstance, situation, and symptom, man, that might confront our lives here on the earth as kings and queens. So he keep you from the knowledge of who you really are and where you really come from and why you really here and what you really can do and where you really going to end up in. Well, then he can continue to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal our health from us, steal our peace from us, steal our purpose from us, steal our destiny from us, steal our identity from us, steal our abundant life that's in us. Why? Because you don't know the things you don't know. You don't know the gospel of the kingdom. Listen, and you do the math. How often do you know your minister being preached the kingdom of God? In what light do he preach? Is it in every message that he proclaimed every Sunday? Is it in every... And listen, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, boy, that what they're doing is error or evil or bad or nothing like that, man. That's a good thing. Let me say this again. The devil's most successful tactic against us as believers and the body of Christ and the church is to preoccupy us with those good things, as long as you don't get to the great thing. What's the great thing again, Arthur, boy? That, boy, all of the kingdom of heaven is near you, is within your reach. That's how close it is. In other words, man, God saying, man, stop worshiping man at the door. Stop, man, worshiping man and praising and everything at the door. What's the door? The door to the kingdom. Who's the door to the kingdom? Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door. If you come any other way, you're a thief and a robber. I'm the only way to get into this kingdom. You got to come through me. All your sovereignty and dominion, man, that you lost in Adam, you got to get that back through the second Adam. You got to get that back through me. You got to come through me. I'm the door. What? Hallelujah. What a door do, man, it provides us to go from one dimension to another dimension, from one room to another room, from one place to another place. What's that? Boy, that's a door. And what Jesus say? I'm the door into all of that. Every night, Kevin Boy, we stay worshiping at the door. When behind that door is where all our healing is, all our deliverance is, all our provision is, all our salvation is, all that God has for us is. It's not at the door. It's behind the door. Hallelujah. Listen, if I have a clothing store, and by the way, we have a little boutique in the Bunker area, and those of you in the Bunker area, we would ask that you would patronize our little business, because the purpose for it here is a means through which God provides for us to put on this broadcast every week. Listen, it costs us to come on this radio broadcast every week. Hallelujah. But that ain't no problem. That ain't no problem for God. Why? Because in the kingdom, everything already provided for. I don't take no thought on how I'm going to pay the bill and this and that. And sometimes, man, it might run a day or two late. But I don't worry about that. Why? Because everything that God called for, he provided for. That's in the kingdom. So I was saying, let me just use my little store as an example. If I got my little store, and my little store consists of beauty supplies and clothing and home decor, things for the home, things for the hair and the beauty supplies, and also, you know, few apparels. Hallelujah. Now, if I want to advertise or I want to reach out to the consumer to come to my store and bless my store, they call it advertising. That's what the purpose for advertising is to get the consumer to come in to get your product. So, boy, they advertise, man, and they come on, man, they have a 60-second ad. So if I come on the radio or the television and whatever with a 60-second ad, and I spend all my time, man, talking about the door, how beautiful my door is, how magnificent the door is, how great the door is, and all that the door consists of is trimmed in gold and stained glass and windows in the door and everything else, and I just tell you all about the door. And then I go off after 60 seconds. Have I accomplished anything? All I did was tell you about the door. And listen, if I did come on the radio and do that, then, man, I'm just wasting my time because not a whole lot of people going to come, man. A few might pass by, man, and just look at the door. But, man, the door is just an entrance into what? All those products that I have in the store. So, if the Sony... A electronic company come on and all they talk about is the manufacturer and who is the owner of it and everything else, then that's not sufficient enough for you to want his product. But boy, when he tell you about all the things that the product can do, if I tell you, man, about all the things that's behind the door at my store, if I tell you about the hair products that we have in there, the wigs that we have in there, the clothing apparel that we have in there, the home decor that we have in the store, behind the door. If I come on the radio, I'm gonna tell you about what's behind the door. Not the door. I'm gonna tell you what's behind the door. And when I tell you, man, what's behind the door and that everything that's behind the door is yours, is your inheritance, it belongs to you, I guarantee you, if I tell you that all that is yours, all you got to do is come on in and get it, man, in the right attitude, in the right way, man, you know. And you come, you'll find a door. Listen, what you'll be interested in is the products. That's why I say, boy, we be preoccupied, man, with advertising, man, preaching. That's what preach means, to publicly declare a message. The same thing as advertising. To do what? To publicly declare a message. For what purpose? So that you can get the consumer to buy your product, to come and get your product. Advertisement or advertisement. That's the same thing preaching is. It's to, man, tell you, is to do what, man? To proclaim, man, the product. So that you could get the product. What's the product? All of the kingdom of heaven, all of the blessings of God, all of the love of God, all of the joy of God, all of the healing of God, all everything, all that God has for us, all of the kingdom of heaven. That's the product. And everything that it consists of, that's the product. That's why that religious leader, man, Nicodemus, man, came to Jesus 2 o'clock in the morning, pitch black dark, with a lantern tied around his waist. He said, good master, hey, Lord, I know that you are a man sent from God, because can't nobody do them things you're doing and speak with the authority that you speak in, except you be sent by God. How you get in this kingdom that you're talking about all the time? Hallelujah. What Nicodemus, boy, look, he found the door. He found Jesus. 2 o'clock in the morning. Dog, pitch black dog. He put a lantern on, a little light boy. He went looking for what? Jesus. Why? Because, boy, he heard Jesus talking about the product. What's the product of all of the kingdom of heaven? He didn't hear Jesus preaching about himself and how great he is and I'm this and I'm dead and everything else and check me out, ain't I bad and all that. No, Jesus was preaching all about the kingdom. And the good news about this kingdom that he was preaching was, if that's your inheritance, that's belong to you. And boy, that guy passed Nicodemus' intellect, a religious ruler. He was a religious leader of the synagogue. Let me say it better. He was a bishop, a pastor. He was one of the big ones in there. Boy, but he found Jesus, man. The first question he asked Jesus was, how you get in this kingdom? You can tell what he asked by what Jesus said. Jesus said, Nick, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot get all them products. That's why I say you can't come in it anyway. You got to come through the door. When you come through the door, then you get born again. And once you get born again, then you have access into the kingdom, you have access to all the products that's in the kingdom. Hallelujah. What's in the kingdom? Peace and joy. Let me back up and say something right here. When I say we be preoccupied with the means, and Jesus never preached healing or deliverance or provisions or salvation or himself. And listen, I don't even saying that that's not in it. Listen, he preached the product in the kingdom of heaven. And all those other things that we preach, man, you know, the good news about him and all the good news about the prophet and everything else, that's incorporated in it. That's incorporated in it. But if we're not careful, man, we just be preoccupied with all those other good news. And all those other good news are good. And more, all those other news get you at the door and get you men to the door. But boy, if you want all the products, if you want all of the kingdom of heaven that's in there, you got to come on through the door. You got to go past the door. Jesus said, I'm not it. I'm the way to it. Jesus said, I'm the truth about it. I'm that life about it, what? All that you have and all that you can do. If you watch me, you're going to see who you are. Because you're just like me. God created you just like me. That's what Jesus was saying, man. And all of this kingdom, he's just telling about all the products. So in the gospel of the kingdom, all the other good news is incorporated in it, like I said earlier. But you can preach all the other message, all the good news, and never preach the kingdom of God. And all the things that he's preaching, boy, out there about Jesus and everything else, all that's in the kingdom of God. And that's your inheritance. Don't cost you nothing. That was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. I don't care what Adam did in the garden, man, and he got put out of everything else. That can't alter the word that had gone forth out of God's mouth. He said this, man, before the foundation of the world. That was in his mind and his heart and his ideas and intent and purpose before the foundation of the world. What? That we should be just like him. What do you mean? Holy. And without blame. What that is? Covered with his love. What do you mean without blame? And I'm talking about no condemnation. Washed white as snow. Just like Jesus, boy, tempted on all points, but boy, and no sin in us. None. None. No sin in us. Walking just like Jesus walked. Talking just like Jesus talked. Acting just like Jesus acted. Doing things just like Jesus was doing. Hallelujah. What a boy. Demonstrating, man, the kingdom of God and what's ours. Listen, I told you this and it bear repeating. Jesus Christ come to this earth, boy, for a few things, but his major reason for coming to the earth is to reveal to us, boy, the character and the nature of the Father. He come to show us, boy, how God is and what he like. His character, his nation, his nature, how he functions, how he operates. He come to show us, boy, the Father. And not only did he come to show us the Father, but he come to show us. He come to show us who we really are. That's why all them mighty works that he was doing, he say, listen, man, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the Spirit of the Lord was in Adam too, was upon Adam too, so that he can accomplish that. In fact, the only reason why he could no longer accomplish that, because, boy, he lost the Holy Spirit. What Jesus said, oh, Lord. He come to show us you. When you see Jesus, boy, he made a statement like this is what he preached. He say, as I am, so are you. But why are we not acting like that, boy? Because, like I was saying earlier, boy, in order to appropriate all that, that Jesus Christ come preaching the grace of God in our lives and the peace of God in our lives, that got to come through that funnel of faith that's hooked up to that great reservoir, all of the kingdom of heaven. That's hooked up to that great reservoir and hooked up to you. And the only way you can get everything that's in that reservoir, everything, man, that is through faith. Same thing, boys. All the products of the kingdom of heaven and all the products that God has for us, that Jesus Christ come preaching, man, only way to grab a hold of all those products and possess it in your life is through faith. It's through that funnel. And the Bible says God has dealt to every man in Romans chapter 12 the measure of faith. Ain't nobody got no more faith than the other. Some faith are more developed than the other. Some faith a little bit more stronger than the other. But everybody got the same measure of faith. And what you got to do, you got to develop that. You got to exercise that. That's why I say faith is more than just believing. You got to step out on that. You got to exercise that. You got to believe that. You got to walk like that. You got to talk like that. You got to think like that. Even before you see the manifestation, it's the substance of the thing that we're hoping for and the evidence of things that we don't yet see. In other words, even though we don't see it and even though it ain't manifested yet, baby, it's already done. And you start acting like that and talking like that and believing like that and walking like that, little by little by little. What you're doing, you're exercising that faith now. You're putting faith to work. You're exercising that faith. And as you exercise that faith, they're just like a bodybuilder. When he exercises his muscles and everything else, then he become a strong man. Why? Through exercise. That's the same way, boy, we become strong in the Lord, man. What? Through faith, through exercising, through stepping out on the exceeding great and precious promises of God. That's his desire for our lives. That's what he wants for our lives. That's his will for our lives. And all that's in the kingdom. That's why I say, boy, this and all of the kingdom of heaven is available to you. And man, the way we really exercise that faith to appropriate that in our lives, you got to hear that. And you can't hear that just once. That's why I say you can't be it can't be just, man, you know, a bypass of your message. It got to be the central focus of our message. That's why I say when we preach the gospel of the kingdom of God and all the other messages that I've been hearing and preaching in the church more, is automatically contained in it. So you don't throw all them good news that we're preaching away. You're just preaching in the light of the kingdom. Instead of the light of religion. Again, you're preaching in the light of the kingdom. How you preaching in the light of the kingdom? You got to know. You got to walk in the light of the kingdom. What's the light of the kingdom? The illumination of the kingdom. The understanding of the kingdom. The knowledge of the kingdom. Jesus said this here, seek ye first. That's nothing. Listen, what's number one priority? What's God's number one priority? Getting me and you and I back into the kingdom of heaven, man, that he had in the Garden of Eden on earth. What's Jesus Christ's number one priority? Boy, he come to reestablish that kingdom back on the earth and cleanse us up so that we can have access back into it. What our number one priority should be? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else that you have need of will be added unto you. Listen, when Jesus made that statement in Matthew's chapter 6, What prompted that is they was asking him a question. And the question was, man, you know, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How are we going to make it? Jesus said this here, boy, listen, your heavenly Father know that you have need of all those things. Everything that you have need of to suffice you or for you to be productive or fulfill your purpose in heaven, man, that includes money, finances, whatever, all the things, the bread, what you're going to eat, clothing, everything else. Boy, he said, listen, your heavenly Father know that you have need of all that. But you don't have to seek that. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And all that you need, that's already provided for you in the kingdom. That's why I say I don't take no thought on how I'm going to make it, how I'm going to live, how I'm going to get my bills paid. Let me tell you, I'm an ambassador of Christ, glory to God. Ambassadors don't worry about, man, how they're going to make it. Why? Because the government provides for them everything that they have need of. When you take them and put them in a foreign territory, man, to represent, boy, their territory, the first thing the government does, man, is build them a place to live. They build a house. And then they build a house, and then they put them in it. And listen, and that house that they build, boy, represents, man, the place that they come from. So it ain't no any kind of house. Everything that they need, man, eating the food, the clothes they wear, the car they drive, all that's provided by the government. They don't worry about, man, no bills. They ain't got time to be worrying about no bills and how they're going to make it and how they're going to pay it at the expense, man, of not at the expense of representing, man, their government. They're ambassadors. They're ambassadors of their government. They represent their government. Therefore, their government, man, take care of them. An ambassador from the United States, if you send them to the poorest country around that we know of and spoken of called Haiti over there in the Caribbean, man, listen, that's one of the poorest nations in the world. But, man, you go check out the ambassador center in that country or in that little nation. A beautiful building, beautiful house. Check out what they drive. Check out how they dress. Why, man, they don't worry about none of that. Why, the government, man, provide all that for them. Hallelujah. The government, man, provide all that for them. They school, even their children, to everything. All the money that they're going to, everything, the food, everything. The government provides for you. That's why you say, boy, your number one priority should be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when you come in behind that door, when you come into this kingdom that's yours, then you don't have to take no thought of how you're going to make it. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. And he's going to provide everything that you have need of. In fact, it's already provided for you. What is that again, Arthur, boy? That's in the kingdom. How you get in this kingdom, Arthur? That's what Nicodemus told you. He says, how you get in this kingdom? You say, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And except a man be born, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And except you be born of the spirit and the water, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Or you can not only enter the kingdom of God, but boy, you won't know the ways of the kingdom of God. Listen, boy, enters into the kingdom of God, you got to be born again. When you find out about the gospel of the kingdom and the gift of salvation that God has provided for you, boy, hallelujah, there's something happened on the inside of you. That spirit, man, that's created in the image and likeness of God, that king and ruler that you are, boy, you hear the gospel of the kingdom, that incorruptible seed, and it hit, boy, the egg of your spirit, then your spirit, man, come alive. That's a spiritual birth. Nicodemus say, boy, can I go into my mother's womb, man, and be born again? No, that's a natural birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. And, boy, when you hear about the love of God and the goodness of God and the salvation of God, that's why you say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of putting you in right standings with God, with him. Listen, I'm going to make a statement here, and, boy, some of you, it might go over your head. You are as righteous as you ever going to be. Not you trying to quit sinning so that you could become righteous, more righteous. And righteousness, man, is the fruit of holiness. Righteousness produces holiness, character, the character and nature of God. That's what he don't want you to know, boy, that he who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, God put all your sins on him and took all Jesus' righteousness and placed it on you. You have been made the righteousness of God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 through verse 17 on down, man. You know, that what? That God made you righteous. Just like he made you a king and a priest in Revelation chapter 21 or Revelation chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, he say, he who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, God made him to be sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God. See, you don't know that. Another scripture in the Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Now listen to this. You got to understand, that's why I say you don't read the Bible, so the Holy Ghost can't give you the revelation because you don't know the word. He say, awake to righteousness. That, awake means you sleep. You don't know about your righteousness. You don't know that you are already righteous. He didn't say stop sinning, man, you know, and become more righteous. He say, awake to the righteousness that you already are, the righteousness that you've been made, and you are sinless. And less and less. Listen, the more you understand and realize that you are already righteous, the less you sin. You'll be walking out of darkness into the marvelous light. You won't be continuing in sin. You'll be coming out of sin. You'll be, why? Because you'll be coming out and saying, how is God doing that, man? Through sprinkling, man, that sin consciousness, man, and giving you a righteous consciousness. Hallelujah. A righteous heart. And boy, when you know that you are already righteous, and you stop trying to earn, man, what God has for you, and you just start receiving what God has for you. Instead of trying to get saved, we'll start being saved. Instead of trying to do things, man, to appease God, man, we'll just start living righteous. Why? Because you are righteous already. And as you understand that and walk in the light of that, then you'll begin to sin less and less and less and less. What you talking about, Arthur? On this radio broadcast, you know, we're going to finish it up next week, you know. That boy, this resurrection season that we are operating in right now, the whole thing, that the death, the coming, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, boy, God wants us to understand that. He don't just want us to celebrate that, man. And he got even unbelievers celebrating that. Why? Because they don't understand Easter. A lot of believers don't understand Easter. They know of it. You know, what is a it's man, people, man, celebrating, man, the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. But they don't know why. They don't know why the resurrection. They don't know why he was resurrected. Why? Well, he's going to have to explain that to you. It'll take more than just 60-minute radio broadcast. So we're going to continue in this vein, man, during this Easter season, man, and hope that, boy, through this radio broadcast, you'll have an understanding, man, of this season that we just got to celebrate, boy, Easter. Out of all events, man, you know, there's up on the earth, that's the greatest one of all. I'm going to explain this to you in future broadcasts, but just let me say this here as I close. Easter is the guarantee. This holiday, like you call it, I call it a holy day. But this holy day that we've been celebrating, man, on the 9th of April, man, Easter Sunday, boy, hey, listen, that right there, boy, destroyed death power over your life. That broke the power of death over your life. That rendered death powerless over your life. That guaranteed, boy, you that you're going to, that death, man, the graveyard can't hold your body down. He showed us that, boy, even though you die in the flesh, you die a corruptible body, then you raised with an incorruptible body. Hallelujah. And death no longer have any power and authority over you. Listen, to really understand Easter, and if the Lord's will, to really understand, we're going to pick up on it next Saturday. So I invite you to tune in and tell your friends and family to tune in, boy. Because if you'll tune in and hear what the Spirit of the Lord had to say, then you'll hear the greatest messages of all messages. Listen, to really understand Easter and what it's all about, you have to understand four things. You have to understand what sin is and how it came about. You have to understand, man, death and how it came about. You have to understand, man, the grave and the purpose for the grave. You also going to have to understand hell. Listen, just a little preview for next week when we come on here. You got to understand sin. Listen, Adam, sin and it originated in Adam. Adam, when Adam ate off the tree of the Garden of Eden, that's not the original sin. That's a result of the original sin. What's the original sin? The sin that Satan committed, even before that was Adam, a manifestation of Adam, when he rebelled against God. That's what sin is, to rebel against, boy, God, to rebel against the laws of God. That's what sin is. And Satan was the first one who did that. He rebelled against, man, God. He said, I'm gonna be a God. I'm establishing in my kingdom, and he's going to rise up above his kingdom. And, boy, that's when he got put out of the presence of the Lord. War took place, and Satan, man, was kicked out of heaven. Why? Because he rebelled against the will of God. That's the first sin. The sin that Adam committed, man, was a result of the devil, man, deceiving them into doing the same thing he did. What Adam did, he rebelled against the known will of God. What was the known will of God? God said, you can eat.